If you want to change the world, never ring the bell. You know, that's a quote that came from a speech given by Admiral William H. McRaven in 2014 as he addressed the graduating class of the University of Texas. In 2014, the University of Texas had a slogan which was, "What starts here changes the world." So Admiral McRaven centered his speech around 10 lessons he learned during his time in the U.S. Navy's most elite training program. Lessons that he felt could help anyone overcome their struggles. Lessons that he thought could change a person's world and change the world around them. I'd like to begin my sermonette this afternoon by reading one of those lessons from his speech. He says, "Basic SEAL training is 6 months of long, torturous runs in the soft sand. Midnight swims in the cold water off the San Diego coast, obstacle courses, unending calisthenics, days without sleep, and always being cold, wet, and miserable. It is 6 months of being constantly harassed by professionally trained warriors who seek to find the weak of mind, body, and spirit and eliminate them from ever becoming a Navy SEAL. But the training also seeks to find those students who can lead an environment of constant stress, chaos, failure, and hardship." He said, "To me, basic SEAL training was a lifetime of challenges crammed into just 6 months." See, in SEAL training, he said, there is a bell, a brass bell that hangs in the center of the compound for all the students to see. All you have to do to quit is ring the bell. If you ring the bell, you no longer have to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Ring the bell and you no longer have to be in the freezing cold swims. Ring the bell and you no longer have to do the runs, the obstacle courses, the PT, and you no longer have to endure the hardships of training. He said, all you had to do to quit is ring that bell. He said, if you want to change the world, and this is what he said to the class, one of the lessons he learned from this, if you want to change the world, don't ever, ever ring the bell. That's pretty powerful, brother. That really stuck with me, and I feel it's something that we can apply in our spiritual lives as well. So if we think of that, if you want to change the world, what world do we want to change? Given these times right now, that is a pretty sobering question. But let's go to the Bible and turn to 1 John 2:16. We'll start 1 John 2:16. A very familiar verse for many of us. And this afternoon, I'd like to take this scripture that talks about the world and make it personal. I want to talk about your world, my world. You know, the world that comes by living in this flesh. Verse 15 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anybody loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And 16 says, "For all that is in the world," and this is individually, if we think of this in our personal little world, your world, my world, these are the big things that we face every day at some extent. It says, "The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but it is of the world." It's what we battle individually in our own personal worlds. And it says, "And this world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." If you want to change the world, never ring the bell. So right here, we kind of have our spiritual elite training course, if you will. It's God saying we need to transition from our own personal world with the lust and the pride and continue to seek after his perfect will, which is forever. You know, brother, just like the Navy SEALs have a training process that changes a Navy cadet into one of the world's most elite soldiers, we're also individually in a process to change our own carnal world, if you will. A change that must not end with us ringing the bell. We must not quit. But we know it's difficult, and I know it is. That's why I like to bring these kind of messages. I know day to day, we all have our certain struggles. Yours might be different than mine. It might be different from the person sitting next to us, but we all have our own personal worlds with struggles. And we fail sometimes in those processes, but we can't quit. See, failure is temporary, but quitting is permanent. That quitting is what's ringing the bell. See, when I was studying the SEAL program and doing a little bit of research into it, it's interesting that the program has a system to handle failures. See, every cadet will fail during the whole program. At some point, there's so many different tasks that you are pushed to your very limits with that they're designed basically to make you fail. But they have a program, they have a process to bring a cadet who's failed a certain task, to bring them back into the program through various boards and additional assignments. But they're able to bring somebody who has failed back into the program to have the possibility to finish it as long as they don't ring the bell. Brother, God works the same way. In fact, that's the point I want to make today. You can change your world because the bell never rang. Let's turn to Hebrews 4. Another very familiar scripture, I think, that gives a lot of us comfort. I know it does to me when I'm going through, you know, difficulties. And there's always a time to reflect on this, and it's very sobering. So we'll start in verse 14, where it says, "Seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So let's hold on to our confessions. For we do not have a high priest," brother, and this is key, "we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are." That's powerful, brother. If you think about it, Christ came into your world, my world. He came into this world that comes with being flesh. He came down here and you receive, if you will, the full elite program from Satan. He went face to face with the ruler of this world. If we look at the wilderness temptation and what Satan proclaimed to Christ, we can see the tie-in in how Christ came into this world and faced the lust and pride that we did. So if we think about what Satan proclaimed, or what he tempted Christ with, if you will. He said, "Tell this stone to become a loaf of bread." Well, we got the lust of flesh. He also said, "I will give you the glory of these kingdoms," as he's showing him a view of all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, "I'll give you authority over all of them if you'll just bow down to me." And that's the lust of the eyes, brethren. He also said, "If you're the Son of God, jump off the top of this temple and have the angels save you." The pride of life. Brethren, God faced those challenges. He faced the challenges that come with being in this world. Yet he did it without sin. And in verse 16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of needs." Just like the SEAL program has a process to address failures, to keep their cadets in the program, as long as, you know, they're willing to not ring that bell, not quit, God gives us mercy. He gives us grace in the times of need when we are failing. So what is that help? What is the help that it's talking about that we can go and boldly to the throne and ask for? Well, if we go back and look at the story in Luke 3 of Christ in the wilderness that I just kind of recapped. In Luke 3, it starts off by saying Jesus Christ, before he went into the wilderness, Jesus Christ was full of the Spirit. Full of the Spirit. God's Spirit is our help. God's Spirit, also called the Helper, is the help in our times of need. That's amazing. That's amazing to think about, brethren. Whenever we're going through our, you know, day-to-day in this world, fighting our lusts and our prides, you know, each of us deep down know what our lusts are, our personal lusts, our personal prides, our personal trials and temptations. If, you know, we've gone through this process of the spring holy days and examining ourselves, so we're familiar. Honestly, we know what those lusts and prides are in our own personal world. But let's turn to Titus 3:7. I came across this in a sermon that I listened to this last Pentecost weekend, and I think it really ties things together here, remembering our own personal world and Jesus Christ also coming down into that world and going through that same process, the same pride and lust he was tempted with, but he never sinned. He never rang the bell. And in Titus 3:3, it says, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, and hateful and hating one another," brethren. That's our personal world. Those are just snapshots of individual things, if we're honest, are our prides and our lusts. It's what can make up our time in this flesh, and what we have to endure day to day. But God, like it says, we have somebody there that understands, Jesus Christ. Verse 4 says, "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by our own works which we have done," because we can't. You know, if it was up just to us to go into battle against Satan, to go into the day-to-day grind to overcome these lusts and pride, we'd quit every time. We would ring that bell. But, it says, "But according to his Spirit, he has saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Brethren, that's tying it all together for us right there. Our worlds that we battle, but there's mercy there. We can come boldly and ask for that mercy and grace, that help in our times of need, which is God's Spirit. See, God and Jesus Christ, it says right here, are in perfect unity to save you and to save me. Anyone who's willing to go through this process and call out for the Helper to work towards the perfect will of God. Because with the kindness and love, they're willing to help us change our own personal worlds. Because of that mercy that we read about in Hebrews, we have the option and access to God's Spirit. The Spirit that is of God, the Spirit that he sent down, the Spirit that is of Christ, the Spirit that Christ was full of when he overcame Satan in the desert, in the wilderness. You know, it's because Jesus Christ came to the world in the flesh, walked through the whole process, and never rang the bell, went toe-to-toe with Satan, never rang the bell, that we have access to his Spirit and can change our world. You know, that in the process of changing our world, we must have strength to never quit. And we have it. God has given it to us. Never quit. Never ring that bell. The lesson from that speech that I talked about in the opening, you know, that if you want to change the world, never ring the bell. I think the SEAL training program is a great analogy for this spiritual life, what we're trying to do, overcome. Because we know change is not easy, and sometimes we fall flat on our face. Sometimes we do fail. Seems like spiritually we're running endlessly in miles of sand. We're swimming in the ocean on the darkest of nights. And you know when Satan is there, right in our face, trying to find our weakness? Brother, that's when we must rely on our helper. That's when we must never ring the bell. It's powerful, brother, to think about. I'd like to close by quoting Isaiah 41:13. I think this is a good summation of the points that we talked about in this message, brethren. Isaiah 41:13 says, "For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you." Brethren, we need to remember you can change your world, your personal world, because the bell never rings.